Chapter 13.
"The Sword of Whining," Callan repeated, as he searched his mother's face for more information. "Future. Why, so you're the noble of the sword now?"
"I am, but I'm far too weak to continue,"
Lena said in a breathy voice.
"You must take over the duties."
I have no idea how to do that," the green dragon insisted. I don't do anything special or brave or whatever."
"You have to,"
his mother said.
"It's in your blood. I wish I could train you, but I've been unable to leave this bed for nearly a decade. The Oleandus has taken away most of my ability to move on my own."
"What's Oleandus?" I asked with a frown.
"A draconic disease from the old days,"
she sighed.
"I've had it all my life. But it doesn't really settle in until old age. I'm about 8,000 years old now, and the Oleandus is taking its toll on me."
"I have healing magic," I said. "Maybe I can..."
"It won't do any good, child,"
Lena cut me off with a tired smile.
"Though I appreciate the sentiment, the disease has already abused my body inside and out. I'm afraid I'm not meant for this world much longer."
"But I only just found you," Callan said as he choked back another sob. "I don't even get the chance to know you."
"My sweet son, you do know me."
His mother slid her hand over to touch his.
"In your heart, you know me as well as you possibly could. You are my only child, and you must take on the duties of the noble of the sword. There's no one else with the bloodline."
"What about the other family Celestia mentioned?" I asked. Not that I didn't want Callan to be a noble of the sword with me, but he was so nervous about it, I figured it couldn't hurt to check for other options, especially since Callan was not a female I could bond with.
Yes, my dear Solvio's family,"
Lena murmured as her eyes drooped.
"Solvio was my mate, and Callan's father. But he was killed during the sage's attacks on the villages in southern Futar. Even though he wasn't a noble of the sword, he defended every dragon he could until he was defeated by a mage from the Greenglass sect. He was a valiant dragon up to the very end."
"So, my father is dead," Callan said as he wiped away another tear. "I'm glad I got to come meet you before, you know."
"I've lived a long life, my son,"
his mom replied and squeezed his hand gently.
"I only wish I could have had you in it longer, but I'm glad the Dracha kept you safe. Now I can pass on our family's legacy."
"Wait,"
Aliona cut in with a sideways glance toward me.
"If she passes down the sword now, we won't have anyone for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony."
"Shit," I cursed and shook my head. "You're right. We have to do the bonding ceremony first."
"What ceremony?"
Lena asked. "I don't know how much you know about the breach, but it's tearing open a hole in our realm," I explained. "If we don't close it soon, the Demon King and all his buddies are going to rip us to shreds."
"I don't understand what that has to do with me handing down the noble sword,"
she said as confusion marred her bright green eyes.
"I'm on my deathbed, Lord Evan. I must pass on the duty to my son before all is lost."
"She makes a good point, my lord,"
Mariah whispered.
"If the noble sword isn't passed on to the next heir, another warrior could take it over. Without the bloodline ability, the new wielder of the sword can use it however he or she pleases."
"Like to join the dark side?" I asked.
"If you mean the side of evil, then yes,"
she said as she stood up and wrapped her robe around her trembling body.
"Karina could be lost between the realms forever unless she chooses to help an evil master."
"So we have to hurry," I said firmly. "We can't give up a chance to get one of the noble swords in the bond, Countess. I'm sorry it's so much information right now, but the fate of the entire world literally hangs in the balance. The gods told me to bond with all the swords."
"What is this bond?"
Lena asked. "Long story short, it gives me access to the sword's powers when I need them," I said. "I'll use it to defeat the Demon King and close the breach for good."
"And you can't do this ceremony with Callan once I'm gone?"
she prodded. No, I shook my head. It has to be a female with the bloodline ability. It's in the spell. I'm sorry to pile this on you, but we have to do it.
My lord, you're asking a lot of an old sick dragon.
Lena rasped.
I don't know if I could even do such a thing.
Even though I didn't like it, the Dragon Countess made a good point. She was bound to the bed and had been for ages, and I knew there had to be a magical solution to move her, but I didn't want to risk causing her any pain either. She said the disease had ravaged her body beyond even my healing abilities, and I didn't know if it would finish her off to go to the valley for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony.
May I talk to my mother alone?
Callan asked, as we waited for Lena to make up her mind.
Of course,
Aliona agreed. We filed out of the room with Celestia right behind us, and she eased the door shut with a sigh.
Is everything you said true?
She asked. Yes, I confirmed. The breach is real, the Demon King is real, and we really need her help to get rid of them. If we don't, everyone on Anati is sure to be killed. I've seen the visions myself.
I've been told of such a future,
Celestia nodded.
The Oracle said it was a possibility if the hero did not succeed. I suppose that makes you the hero.
I guess so, I said with a shrug. I've been working on this for weeks, and I have to get her on our side. Do you think you can convince her?
I don't think I'll have to,
she chuckled.
Her son will make an argument she can't refuse.
How do you know that? I wondered.
Galen is a warrior of the heart,
Celestia said with a fond smile.
The spirits talk about him with great respect. Though he has never known what he is, he's always done what is right, and that's a trait he gets from his mother.
You think she'll do the ceremony then? Nike asked.
Yes, I do.
The spiritual leader nodded her head, and her wild gray hair floated around her face.
Before the Oleandus disease set in, she ruled Atmos with a firm but kind hand. She always treated her people the right way, even when they didn't deserve it. This disease has taken so much from someone who never deserved it.
How did she get it? The thought struck me with an urgency. If the Oleandus disease was hereditary, Callan could be at risk for it as well as every dragon in his bloodline. It could spell disaster for the Sword of Waning.
During the Battle of Muardia,
Celestia said,
she was hit with a poison dart. In humans, it causes instant death. In dragons, it leads to Oleandus disease, which is eventually fatal, but takes much longer to kill a dragon.
Ah, I sighed with a bit of relief. It was too late for Lena, but at least Callan was safe from the disease. I hated this experience for him. I knew it all too well, and it didn't make it any easier that no one could help. He just had to spend as much time with his mother as he could before she was gone.
So, Callan will be okay,
Nokomis murmured.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly, I agreed. Now, you said there was an issue with leadership, but if Lena is the Countess, what's the issue? No one wants to listen because she's old and sick?
Basically,
Celestia sighed. So the rotten little bastard who challenged me with the sword that wasn't even his own won't have any repercussions? I scowled at the thought of the fraud getting away with his crime.
He wouldn't anyway,
she said with a frown.
His father is the one who's decided he'll take over when Countess Lena is gone.
Decided?
Skye echoed and clenched her fists.
People just decide they're in charge around here?
No one has been brave enough to challenge him because of Huxley,
Celestia explained.
As I mentioned before, he's quite skilled in duels, and he fights in his father's place if anyone questions him. It's quite appalling, really.
I'll say,
Nokomis muttered, and her fuzzy, spotted tail swished behind her in uncharacteristic annoyance.
Is that why he had the noble sword?
Yes. He believes he deserves it because his father has taken it upon himself to rule Atmos,
Celestia said and scrunched up her wrinkled face in annoyance.
I tried to tell him once Callan returned he would be the rightful owner of the sword, but he insisted Lena's death would give him possession of it.
He was correct,
Mariah murmured.
If he had the noble sword when the standing noble of the sword died without handing it down, he could claim it. Kellen would have to challenge him to return it to the bloodline.
How does he know so much about the noble swords? I asked the old woman before me. The spirit of my sword says he was right about taking it once Lena died, but even I didn't know that.
A few people believe he's in cahoots with the ring of bandits in Afer, but that can't be confirmed.
Celestia shrugged. A dragon who was in bed with a murderer who kidnapped dragons? The thought made me sick to my stomach, and I wished I hadn't shown Huxley any mercy in our duel earlier. I should have roasted his wintry ass to see if he turned into ash or snowmelt. Well, their leader is no longer a problem, I smirked, as I remembered Tarak's pile of ashes. So if that's where he's getting his info, he won't be anymore.
That's good,
she said with a sigh of relief.
And now that Kallen is back, he can take over all his rightful duties, including the ruling of Atmos.
Whoa, what? I was stunned for a moment. He's the next in line for that, too?
He's Lena's only child,
Celestia reminded me.
Once she has passed on, her heir will take over Atmos. Everyone will be relieved Lord Huntington and Huxley won't be able to stay in their current roles.
No one likes them? Nike pursed his lips and his voice dripped with sarcasm. I can't imagine why.
Not only is Huxley a raging imbecile, but his father is also mean and violent,
she replied.
They're a deadly combination for anyone who argues or challenges them.
Sounds like Kallen has his work cut out for him, I muttered. Hopefully he can Just then, the door to Lena's room swung open, and Kallen stepped into the living room as he released a deep breath. My mom will do it, he declared. She'll do the ceremony. We have to move quickly, I said. I have the noble sword, so we don't have to worry about Huxley getting it, but if she dies before we finish, I can't bond with you.
So Huxley was right about taking the sword once my mother passed on?
Kallen groaned. I don't like that guy. Well, once you're in charge, you can do whatever you want with him, I chuckled.
I'll be in charge.
Kallen stammered and shook his head.
No, not me. I don't know how to do something like that.
You can't let Huxley and his dad take over, Nike pointed out.
I can't possibly run an entire city, the green dragon said. I've been on my own for so long. I don't know anything about what people want.
You've been doing great in Hatra, I insisted. You've helped Valera, made friends, been part of the school.
And that qualifies me to rule over a city.
Kallen puffed out his cheeks as he exhaled a heavy sigh.
Let's take care of one thing at a time, okay?
Deal, I agreed. We need to get this going. Without a female child, you wouldn't do us much good, no offense.
None taken, he said with a half smile. We need to take my mother to, wherever it is we go for the ceremony.
Rama, near the White Jade Temple, I replied, and turned toward Aliona. We need to have your father and Castor get everything ready immediately.
Of course,
she said as she pulled the white jade hand mirror from her spatial storage.
I'll let him know now.
When the king answered her magical call, he looked almost radiant, especially compared to the way we'd seen him just a few days ago. His skin and eyes were brighter, his hair was clean and swept into a low ponytail, and a smile was on his kind face.
My daughter, do you have good news? Rodion asked.
You look wonderful, father,
Aliona gushed.
And yes, we do. We have another noble of the sword coming, but we must move quickly. She's quite ill, and she can't be healed.
What is the ailment?
He wondered with a frown. It's Oleander's disease, I said, and his frown deepened.
Ah, he murmured. Yes, I'm afraid I've yet to find anything to cure the disease in dragons. It seems the healing takes nearly as long to work as the illness takes to damage the body. I'm sorry to hear this.
Me too, I said. It's Callan's mom, but we have to get her to you now, since he's the only heir she has and he has no children.
Then Castor and I will meet you in the valley in a few minutes, Rodion declared. He's already begun to gather our supplies.
See you soon,
Aliona said before the call ended. The magical relics we'd acquired from Tarak's stash had obviously done Rodion some good.
and I was pumped to see him looking more like his usual self. He was one of the most powerful kings to have ever lived, and it didn't seem right or fair for him to go on a downward spiral because of the breach or the Demon King. As soon as my wife stuck her mirror back in her spatial storage, we turned back to Callan, whose face was twisted into a frown. "What's wrong?" I asked.
"We still have one problem," he pointed out. "My mother can't move her legs. She can barely move her arms. How is she supposed to go through the portal or do the ceremony?"
"I can guide her through the ceremony," I said, as I ran my fingers through my hair. "But I'm not sure about how to move her."
"You must be cautious,"
Celestia interjected.
"Her pain can be quite immense with movement."
"I can help with the pain,"
Sky said.
"I've been working on redirecting all kinds of energy so I can move the pain somewhere else, but I can't move her."
"If it doesn't hurt her, I can carry her," Callan murmured as he dropped his eyes.
It would be too hard," I said, and put a gentle hand on his shoulder. "We just need something like a wheelchair to move her."
"What's a wheelchair?"
he asked, and arched a curious eyebrow. "Oh, right, earthly stuff." "A chair with wheels," I replied with a nudge to Aliona. "Can you make something like that?" Aliona tilted her head to the side as she imagined the contraption I'd somewhat described. Then she whipped a piece of paper and a quill out of her spatial storage and handed them to me.
"Can you draw one?"
she asked.
"I can enchant the paper like we did with that trap for Olivier, but I need something to go on."
"I'll do my best." I grimaced as I took the paper and quill to the living room table to draw an adequate version of a wheelchair. I tried to take my time enough to do it right, but I had to move quickly to get it done, and there wasn't exactly an eraser on the other side of the quill. When I finally finished, I looked at the drawing with a bit of surprise. Wheels, seat, back, handles, it was all there. Even if it looked like a 4-year-old had drawn it. Art had never been my forte, but this creation wasn't the worst I'd ever done.
"That is quite an invention,"
Aliona said as she eyed the drawing.
"I think it would help a lot of sick people."
"It has," I agreed, and then shrugged. "Well, on Earth, anyway. Will this work?"
"I just need to add the connections here and here."
Aliona's tongue grazed her lips as she focused on the additions to my drawing.
"Done. I can do it now."
Then she set the paper on the floor, and we took a few steps back as she began the spell that would bring the wheelchair from the paper to our world. A white, smoky trail left her fingertips as her magic swirled toward the paper and surrounded the drawing. Then the spell seemed to lift the ink from the page and solidified it while we watched on in awe. A few seconds later, the wheelchair I'd drawn was sitting before us, and I decided to test it out with my own weight. "Not bad," I said, as I jiggled my body in the seat. "It's pretty sturdy."
"Perfect,"
Aliona replied with a smile.
"Then let's get Countess Lena in it and to the valley. My father should be there already."
I hopped out of the chair and wheeled it into Lena's room. The old dragon eyed the contraption with suspicion, but Callan took her hand to soothe her.
"Princess Aliona made this for you," he explained. "It'll carry you, so you don't have to walk or anything. Okay?"
"If you think it'll work, my son,"
she said in a raspy voice.
"I trust you."
"Callan and I will put you in it," I added, "and Sky will help keep the pain away."
She can do that?"
Lena gasped.
"I haven't been able to move without pain in years."
"I can do it, Your Grace,"
Sky chimed in with a confident smile.
"All right,"
Lena agreed after a moment.
"Shall we?"
Callan slipped his hands under her shoulders while I carefully scooped her legs, and Sky focused her energy power on Lena as we gently picked her up and set her in the chair. Even though she was dead weight, the Countess hardly weighed 100 pounds, and I assumed it was the disease that had ravaged her body. I'd never seen such a small adult dragon, and I had to swallow a lump in my throat as we arranged her limp body in the chair.
"Are you all right?"
Celestia asked as she gently touched Lena's shoulder.
I am,"
the Countess breathed in a surprised tone.
"The young lady was surprisingly successful in keeping the pain away."
"I've been practicing,"
Sky said and grinned. "Nice job," I whispered to her, and I planted a kiss on her cheek before I pulled the noble sword of waning from my spatial storage and laid it across Lena's lap. I believe this belongs to you.
Oh, my God! You got a pick?
She gasped.
How?
I took it, I smirked. That douchebag didn't deserve it.
You're right about that.
Lena agreed with amusement, but her eyes were sincere when they met mine.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I said. All right, we need to get going. The king is waiting on us. Aliona opened the portal, and Lena stared at the swirling magical doorway with a look of wonder in her green eyes. Skye's ability to draw out her painful energy seemed to have brightened them a few shades, and a half-smile curled the corners of her mouth. Callan waited for Aliona and I to go through first, and then he wheeled his mother through the portal behind us with Nike, Skye, and Nokomis right behind him. Once we entered the valley, Lena took a deep breath and looked around us with a full smile.
This is beautiful,
she marveled.
I haven't been outside in so long. The air is so fresh and clean.
Yeah, and the ground has been purified, I explained. I healed all the nature here of evil and death.
Which somehow makes it even better,
Aliona added with a smile and then pointed to the river.
Look, Father and Castor are setting up now.
Castor rushed around like a chicken with its head cut off as he set up the podium and a table with the ingredients for Rodion. The king looked almost radiant as he directed his right-hand man, and by the time we'd wheeled Lena over to him, everything was ready.
Countess Lena, thank you for your help today, Rodion said in a warm voice as he took her hand. Your generosity does not go unnoticed.
It's an honor, Your Majesty,
she replied and dipped her head.
I'm sorry I can't exactly bow at the moment.
Not necessary, he chuckled. Your presence is the most important thing today.
Rodion glanced over at me, and we stepped away from the others as Aliona explained the ceremony to Callan and his mother. Are you sure I can't heal her? I asked with a frown. Callan just got to meet his mom, and she's so nice and deserves to live.
If you tried, you would only prolong her pain, he replied. Oleander's disease is brutal, and the healing magic takes too much time to work. My theory is the healing must occur within a few hours of the poison, but I haven't had an opportunity to test it out. As you know, I've only had one dragon in my kingdom for quite some time, until recently.
And he wasn't ever hit with the poison, I murmured, thank the gods. She's miserable. I just hate watching her die like this. And I know it's even worse for Callan.
Your friend is strong, and this will make him stronger, Rodion said. I believe you are quite familiar with that growth.
Yeah, I nearly whispered. The king always seemed to know more than I expected, and even though I hadn't talked to him about my own mother's death, he understood it had made me grow up and become strong for my aunt.
Now, let's get started, he said. I have a feeling this will be her final act of kindness.
I grimaced as I followed the king back over to the others, and he opened his book on the podium to the page for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony. Most of the next 20 minutes was a blur for me while my mind raced with ways to stop Lena's imminent death. But suddenly it was time for the fire of the dragon, and I blew the flames into the bowl and waited.
Now, the Blade of Wistonia,
the king declared, as he handed me the dagger. I gently lifted Lena's hand and wrapped her fingers around the handle. Then I helped her drag the blade across my skin and squeezed my blood into the ceremonial bowl. Next came the part I dreaded, and I scowled when Lena winced at the pain of the dagger on her palm. I healed her in a matter of seconds, but she was already in so much pain. The blade had hurt her before I could heal her. It made my stomach twist into knots as I laid her hand in her lap and returned the dagger to Rodion.
Great gods of the land and sky!
He lifted his hands in the air and looked toward the sky.
We present the dragons for your eternal blessing, as they bond their magical souls.
Thunder rolled over the valley, and a crack of lightning lit the darkening sky. Then Aeron stepped out of the shadows. The god of punishment wore his signature gold armor, and his blonde hair flopped over his eyes before he pushed it back with a movie star smile.
Lena, it's good to see you again, he said with a bow to the old dragon.
Likewise, great Aaron,
she replied and nodded her head. Wait, you two know each other? I asked in confusion.
Oh, Countess Lena has carried out dozens of my tasks in her battles, Aaron chuckled. She is quite the warrior.
Was,
she corrected him with a fond smile. Is, he repeated firmly.
You've survived this long and were rewarded with your son. Though your final moments are near, you will continue to be rewarded in our realm. My allies and I hereby bless this ceremony. May you use this power for the goodness of Inati and punish those who wish to harm it.
He grinned at Lena before he slapped his palms together, and another bolt of lightning zipped down to hit the ceremonial bowl. As the lightning faded, so did the god of punishment, and he was gone just as quickly as he'd arrived. I felt the familiar rush of a new power, though it was oddly small compared to the others. I didn't have time to explore it right now, and I looked over to see Callan rush over to his mother.
Your final moments, Callan whispered as he knelt down and took her hands. I just got you, and I'm already losing you.
Aaron was right, my son,
Lena replied.
You were the greatest reward I could have in this realm. And now I need to do what has been long awaited.
She grimaced in pain as she grabbed the Sword of Waning and lifted it to touch Callan's shoulder. Help her, I whispered to Skye. Skye nodded, and then she closed her eyes as she drew out Lena's pain-filled energy while the Countess spoke to Callan.
I, Countess Lena, hereby deem you, Count Callan, ruler of Etmos in the great land of Futhar,
she declared,
and the new noble of the Sword of Waning, as is your birthright. Take both roles with kindness and strength, and become the leader of your people.
Her hands quivered as she motioned for Callan to take the sword.
What do I...
he started to ask, before he gripped the handle. The Sword of Waning lit up in his hands, and a bright yellow glow emitted from the blade and the jewel-encrusted handle. The light grew brighter and brighter until we all had to shield our eyes, and then it faded out.
Karina is elated,
Mariah said. So is Lena, I agreed, and nodded to the Countess.
Perfect,
Lena sighed with a happy smile. Callan choked back a sob, as his mother's eyes slowly closed, and they didn't open again. She had passed on her roles, and her final moments had ended. The green dragon laid across his mother's lap and cried, and the rest of us stood in solemn solidarity as we waited for him to grieve. The pain of losing a parent was more than anyone could describe, and I had no intention of stopping him from expressing his feelings right now. Then Lena's body suddenly trembled before it shifted into her dragon form, and we all scrambled back. Her eyes remained closed, and her breath was still gone, but her dull green scales were bright in the sunlight as she crushed the wheelchair and laid on the ground.
Holy shit, I muttered.
I'd heard a dragon takes its true form upon death, but I've never seen it happen before,
Aliona whispered with tears in her violet eyes.
She's beautiful.
Yeah,
I agreed with a glance at Callan, who now sobbed against his mother's scaly chest.
Why?
He asked the clouds.
Why take her from me when I only just got her back? It's not fair!
Callan shook his fists at the gods above us before he laid down again and cried some more. Lena almost looked like she was merely asleep as her snout laid on the ground, but her body didn't move.
What should we do?
Nokomis whispered as she wiped away the tears from her cheeks.
He's so sad. I can feel it coming off him in waves.
We don't do anything. I shook my head and frowned. He needs to feel it all. Trust me. Aliona took my hand and squeezed it, and Nokomis looked at me with sad eyes.
You've lost your mother,
the snow leopard demihuman said in a low voice.
I didn't know. Julia
is my adoptive mother, I explained,
My real mother died a few years ago when I was on Earth. It broke my heart. She was the only parent I ever knew, which is why I want to find out if Xoclan is my father.
That makes sense.
Nokomis murmured and nodded her head.
He would be your only living parent if he's here somewhere.
Exactly, I agreed. I want to find him. Or at least his brother. Maybe I could get some answers.
We need to get my mother home, Callan suddenly declared in a hoarse voice. I want to get her home now, okay?
Of course, brother, I said, as I walked over and put a gentle hand on his shoulder. Whatever you need, we'll do it.
Thank you,
he whispered, and he didn't move to wipe the tears still steadily dripping down his face.
I'll have to ask Celestia to help with the ceremony. I don't remember it anymore.
I'm sure she'll do everything she can, I assured him. I stopped as the sky darkened above us, and I looked up to see the familiar white scales of my friend Iskander. He hovered overhead for a moment before he dipped down to land a few feet away from the riverbank.
My lord, he called out to me, have you finished the ceremony?
Yeah, I confirmed with a nod. We're just about to take Lena's body back to Futhar.
I'm afraid that will have to wait, he said in a grim tone. It appears we have company.